So I mentioned before, the Shabbat right before Passover has a special name. It's called Shabbat HaGadol, the Great Shabbat. And traditionally, in the old world, it would be one of only two times the entire year when the rabbi would give a sermon. Could you imagine that? Sounds like vacation to me. Anyone know what the other time of year, by the way, when the rabbi would give a sermon would be? Holidays, what do you think? Shabbat all the time, that's true. A particular Shabbat, Shabbat Shuva. The Shabbat in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why these two? Because on Shabbat Shuva, the rabbi was supposed to stand up and say, repent, repent, repent. That'd be fun. And on Shabbat HaGadol, the rabbi was supposed to stand up to make sure that you knew all of the rules about Passover, to make sure that you were keeping a kosher Passover. Exactly right. So now I tend to preach and teach a few more times than that during the course of the year, but the idea of preparing for Pesach does make sense to me. And in particular, this particular year, I think I've talked to many folks in our congregation who've been wondering about whether or how in our Passover celebration to acknowledge the events of the last 6 months, what our world is like now, the Hamas attacks where everyone in Israel knows somebody who was killed or wounded, the 120 plus Israelis who are still hostages in captivity. How do we say, let my people go? What does that mean for us today when that's happening? The thousands of Israelis who still are displaced in internal exile, unable to return to their homes in the north or in the envelope. The devastation that we know has been rained upon Gaza due to Hamas using civilians as human shields and their infrastructure, the suffering and the destruction of the war, the hunger there that we know is very real. And our Haggadah says, let all who are hungry come and eat. Right? We read about the plagues, right? The plagues that were sent to convince Pharaoh to do what? Let my people go. Exactly right. The rabbis actually have a debate about this because they recognize that the plagues didn't just affect Pharaoh and the leadership, but each and every Egyptian. And there's a good debate in the various sources over how innocent the other Egyptians were. Did they go along with slavery? Did they benefit from slavery in society and therefore were worthy of punishment? Or were they merely at the whim of their leaders as well? Clearly, the action of their leaders brought that misery on their people. And we know when we get to the point of the plagues, what is it that we do with our wine cup, our symbol of joy? Wine in Judaism is a symbol of great joy. What do we do with our cup of wine? Right? We pour, we use a pinky to lessen our joy, 10 drops. One for each of the plagues that was visited upon the Egyptians. Why? Because we recognize that our freedom did come at the expense of other people's suffering. You know that if you use your pinky, by the way, you're not supposed to lick it afterwards. Just checking to make sure. Like I said, rabbis are supposed to check and make sure you know all the rules. There's actually even a midrash where when the Israelites finally get across the sea and it comes crashing in behind them, the angels want to burst into song of praise to God. And God scolds the angels and says, the Egyptians, my creatures, are drowning. And you want to sing songs of praise. God scolds the angels for overzealous celebration, I suppose, but recognizes God's own sense of compassion. Any of these moments, any of these points in our Seder could be touchstones or places to acknowledge events that have been happening in our world as we mark Pesach. There are a lot of resources that are out there. I listed some in my bulletin article last week, some in this week as well. I've drawn together several to integrate. Some of them I think I'm gonna save for Tuesday night for our congregational Seder or Monday night at my own home Seder. Some I might use now and on Tuesday night, and some maybe just now just to show you what's out there. But I wanna take you through just five or six quick pieces that's out there. We'll put the first one up. The Union for Reform Judaism sent out a notice earlier this week recognizing that this year the war in Gaza may have created divisions in our Jewish community, in our own families. People struggle in their relationships. Many of us worry that conversations are at our tables may be a little fraught, but more than ever, the URJ points out, Pesach is a time for asking questions. And here are four questions that you might consider asking at your table. Passover is a holiday of storytelling, and the Haggadah commands us to tell the story as though we ourselves had been present in it. What's one story that has shaped how you understand the war in Gaza? Might ask, Passover warns that great suffering comes from the hardening of our hearts, like Pharaoh. How are you feeling hard-hearted right now? How are you feeling tender-hearted? We might ask, Passover is a time to ask questions. When you think about the current war in Gaza, what questions come to mind? What is something you'd like to understand? And the Seder ends with the aspiration next year in Jerusalem. What do you hope will be true 1 year from now? And how do you hope you will feel? Some questions, perhaps, either to help us frame our own approach to Pesach, or even questions to ask at your Seder itself, downloadable online. I'll send you the link. A second piece, this from an organization called Bayit, which is Building Judaism. It's a Jewish arts collective. Their supplement for Pesach this year is called This Broken Matzah. And this piece is by Rabbi Dara Lithwick. Each of the four cups of wine that we drink during the Seder is tied to a promise made in the book of Exodus between God and the Jewish people. I will bring you out. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you to me for a people. And Rabbi Lithwick imagines other ways we might explain that, or with each cup, a kavanah or an intention that we might have. Vahotzeti, I will bring you out. May it be your will, Divine One, to free the hostages safely and speedily from Gaza, to enable a just, lasting ceasefire, to inspire all to work for a peaceful tomorrow. The second cup, the Hitzalti, I will deliver you. May it be your will, Savior of all, to deliver the hostages safely into the arms of their loved ones and to enable all Israelis and Palestinians displaced by the war to return home in safety. Cup three, Vega'alti, I will redeem you. May it be your will, Creator of all beings, to free us from the hatred in our midst, surrounding us even within us. In releasing hatreds, may we experience redemption. In the fourth cup, Velakachti etchem li la'am, I will take you to me for a people. May it be your will, Holy Redeemer, to renew our covenant with you and to help us connect in covenant with all peoples as we renew our faith in you and in each other. A kavanah, an intention, a thought before each of the four cups of wine. The next piece I'll bring to you is from the Musar Institute, one of the leading organizations teaching Jewish ethics and Jewish practice. We are affiliated with the Musar Institute through David Kleiman and others who study and learn in their way. They focus on the Yachatz section of the Haggadah. That's the breaking of the middle matzah. And they teach the breaking of the matzah symbolizes the opening of our hearts. Rabbi Israel Salanter defined one of Musar's goals as Shivron HaLev, the breaking open of the heart. His primary student, Rabbi Simcha Zissel Broidy, explained that the broken heart has nothing to do with sadness. Instead, it refers to an attitude of being open, flexible, and with willingness to reassess the situations that a person encounters. It's not broken because it's not working. It's broken because it's broken open. It stands opposed to the obstinate, walled-off, impenetrable heart of Pharaoh. Pausing to reassess and open a new reality allows our sensitivities to flourish rather than be ruled by our habitual inclinations. The broken matzah calls us to find the inner strength to open our hearts to vulnerability, reminds us to be flexible, sensitive, and aware. And in this state, we truly connect to others and to the one above. The Kutzker Rebbe Menachem Mendel taught, there is nothing more whole than a broken heart. Another piece, again from Bayit, the Jewish Arts Collective, this by Rabbi Rachel Barenblatt. She reimagines the section where we read about the four children. You remember, the wise, the wicked, the simple, and the one who does not know. She reimagines them, not directly overlaying and mapping them one to another, but imagines four others today. She writes, today the four children are a Zionist, a Palestinian solidarity activist, a peacenik, and one who doesn't even know what to dream. The Zionist, what does she say? 2,000 years we dreamed of return. Next year in Jerusalem is now, and hope is the beacon we steer by. The solidarity activist, what do they say? We know the heart of the stranger. To be oppressors is unbearable. We must uplift the downtrodden. The peacenik, what does he say? We both love this land. We both love this land, and neither is leaving. We're in this together. Between the river and the sea, two peoples must be free. And the one who doesn't know what even to dream, feed that one sweet charoset as a reminder that building a just future has always been our call. All of us are wise. None of us are wicked. Even the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is holy. Without it, no art would be made and no future imagined. We are one people, writes Rabbi Barenblatt, one family, not only because history's flames never asked what kind of Jew one might be, but because the dream of collective liberation is our legacy. We need each other in this wilderness. Only together can we build redemption. Another reading, a different reading, this from a Haggadah supplement from the Academy for Jewish Religion, which is a multi-denominational seminary. Their offering is called Seder Interrupted. And this piece is by Rabbi Margaret Frisch Klein called Plague Poem. She writes, my creatures are drowning. Why are you singing? A drop of wine, a drop of blood. Not just 10 for the plagues, too many drops to count this year, maybe every year. A drop of wine, a drop of blood, we rejoice with each hostage freed out of the narrow places. A drop of wine, a drop of blood, a tunnel is a narrow place, a very narrow place. We weep for each life lost, child, woman, man, every Gazan, every Israeli, every soldier, every non-combatant, every victim from any country, every person, each created in the image of the divine. A drop of wine, a drop of blood. We weep for each victim of terror, each victim of sexual assault, each victim of displacement, each victim of brutality, each victim of promises made and promises shattered, each victim searching for water and searching for food and searching for safety, searching for school and searching for healing. Each victim of fear. We pray that soon all will be out of the tunnels, out of the narrow places. God admonished the angels, my creatures are drowning and you rejoice. A drop of wine, a drop of blood, too many drops this year. We cannot sing this year. Next year may all be free out of the narrow places. And that word narrow places is a Hebrew pun on the name for Egypt, Mitzrayim, Metzer, the narrow straits. The imagery there. And finally, one last piece I'll offer to you for Seder consideration for Pesach. This out of a Haggadah supplement published by the Hartman Institute called In Every Generation from a poet named Iris Ilya Cohen. The notion being that at the end of the Seder, when we say next year in Jerusalem, it is a statement, a wish, an aspiration of hope. And she wrote in Hebrew and was translated into English, I name the file sorrow. I delete. Name it October. Change it to 7. Replace it with chasm. Change to chasms. Name it hell-like. I name it hope. I command the computer to remember and it responds, saving hope. The end of our Seder comes, L'shana haba'a b'Yerushalayim, that we pray next year in Jerusalem. Maybe that we'll actually be there. but certainly that our hearts will be. And if not physically there in Jerusalem, that that hope of what Jerusalem represents can be with us wherever we are. So just a few readings, a few thoughts, a few things that are out there, questions to ask one another, supplement readings that help us reimagine the drops of wine, the four questions, the four children, or any other segments of our Seder and its symbolism. A few things that are out there, more reflections are available. They're relatively easy to find online, or again, ask me and I'm happy to point them towards you. Maybe you'll use some of these. Maybe you'll use none of them. That's all okay. Maybe we'll find ways, one or another, of weaving into our story this year of Pesach what our story has been these last 6 months. Whether your Seder is an hour or 2 hours, or if you read all of these, it could be 10 hours, right? We hope that it'll be a meaningful and joyful celebration of Passover for us all. King Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will, and together we say, Amen.